Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the 17th of December.
Yeah, and guess what?
Christmas is just around the corner.
This is an important public service announcement. There is no further shows for 2019 after this show. We got this coming week is Christmas Eve. I'll be on a cruise with the fam. And next week after that is going to be New Year's Eve.
Yes.
So the good news is Ryan is busily getting together all of the clips. He's like a thousand clips that he collected over the last year. And we'll put together some kind of a best of.
Like, we're going to have a best of twice or just once?
It depends on how fast you and I can get our act together to get it recorded. You know, so we'll see. I told him in an email just this week that we want to try to get the clips all together and organized and see kind of what we have, how much we have, and then see if we can put some intros into each of the segments and topics, you know, because he has a topic on, let's say, Brexit, and he has a bunch of clips on that. So we'll have to see if we can get that together. I'm going on a cruise Monday. By the way, big shout out to Erica and Josh. First time they're listening tonight. But we're going to be going with the family and on a cruise from Monday through Friday of next week. So maybe we'll try to squeeze it in somewhere.
Okay. Well, I'll be here.
All right. Well, let me give you an update of what's going on around the world and what the big deal is these days. We have the trade deal. Woohoo! The biggest and best ever. It's been supposedly passed last week after the show was on, it was Tuesday, so it was Thursday, and there's a big hoopla about this whole, it's done, it's 100%, it's done. We have Trump on the way to a House impeachment as of tomorrow, and that will probably happen. Good news, that's right before No Agenda on Wednesday, the vote will happen. So you'll have plenty to talk about on Thursday at 12 o'clock on No Agenda.
Well, it's not as though this isn't totally anticipated.
Yeah, you know, it's heavily anticipated, but it, you know, it's a sham.
I think it is.
Yeah. it is, but they have to go through the process. We got headwinds, the risk of involved with headwinds, they're kind of resolving right now just in time for the new year. Seems they're knocking down one after the other after the other. And markets are really loving this in rally mode. The MOMO, the momentum trade, is on. It's going good. So the market has been really rallying, and the update for the market particularly is all about the trade deal. And we have a new narrative. We always have something, right?
Yeah.
So we have the narrative of, what do we have? Let's see. Weather narrative, right? That's always a narrative and something that is going to be, you know, weighing on us temporarily, transitionally. And we have the narrative of, we've always had currency headwinds, right? That was another one. Well, we have a new narrative that's out there to appease everybody. It's called
a new one.
Yeah. It's called, we're in a bottoming process. We see a bottoming process, kind of like
bottoming of what?
Bottoming of the economic downturns are starting to finally turn up. And it's kind of like the Bernanke green shoots commentary.
Where's this?
This is what's being heard all around. It's, China is really doing poorly due to the trade war and their GDP is dropping. But we see a bottoming process. And you see this in Europe. Europe's economics, they're possibly heading into recession, and Germany exports are horrible. And it looks, though, that there's a bottoming process happening.
It's not much of a bottoming process happening here. What are they saying?
Not here. It's everywhere but here. Well, they're saying the bottoming for the manufacturing slide, for the slowdown in, let's say, in areas of services that aren't really slow, but it's kind of like we're reaching a point that it's a base is happening. So things are going to get better. The point is, it's all about it's going to get better from here.
Well, it's kind of interesting that it's at the market at 28,000 or whatever, and that's the bottom.
Yeah, I don't think they're talking about markets necessarily, more so about economies.
But it sort of always amounts to it, you discuss these things, and now we're looking at, well, we'll see.
Yeah, new highs for...
Sounds like 30,000's coming.
It looks that way. Home builder confidence is at a 20-year high. I guess that's not bottoming, you know? And we have the VIX hit below 12 yesterday, nearing the low for the year. And past occurrences, as we got this low throughout this year, has been that it's been the bottom. And we see a quick move higher. I don't know if that's going to happen at this point, especially as we have seasonality benefiting the Santa Claus rally and the opportunity for markets to joyfully slay into the end of the year on an up note. So there we go. So we do have a lot of bullish sentiment, I'll tell you. So there's a report that I read this week from...
That's a good sign for a crash.
Bullishness?
Well, I mean, I'm always looking for that. You know, too much bullishness.
Yeah. There's a lot of bullshittedness going on with the markets right now. But I guess we have, according to Bank of America, the global growth expectations have shot up to 22 percentage points over 2 months to a net 29% of those surveyed, saying the world's economy will accelerate next year. And this is the biggest two-month jump in growth expectations on record.
Wow.
Yep. So I think that again, back to our bottoming process, back to a lot of things resolving. We have the trade deal supposedly resolving. We have Brexit somehow resolving. We have the impeachment situation resolving. It's just a one giant resolution.
Well, there's a couple things then. First of all, of course, what happens tomorrow when he gets impeached by the House for this whatever? I don't even know what the charges are. Obstruction of Congress, which doesn't make any sense if you think about it, because he's the president. And the other one is abuse of power, which, again, doesn't make any sense since he's supposed to be powerful. He's the president.
Well,
will the market go down, or the market just do what I'm thinking it's going to do and just ignore this?
It has ignored it so far, and it's virtually a done deal. But I don't agree with you necessarily with the comment that because he's president, he can't obstruct Congress. There is law and legislation about impeachment and the things that he's required to do. One of the things he can't necessarily do is just order people not to appear. I don't think that was a president can do that, especially, I mean, as President Trump
says,
there
hasn't been a president yet that hasn't called executive privilege on any of these hearings.
He hasn't called this executive privilege. He just said, don't go.
Well, he said don't go, but they could go if they want. A couple of them have.
I would think that if they go and then they bring in executive privilege and, you know, they're counseled and can talk about what they can talk about and not talk about, you know, it's kind of like the Fifth Amendment, right? It's things that can't be talked about because of national security. That's the executive privilege, right?
Not necessarily.
Okay. So how do you view that?
Executive privilege could also be private conversations, inside information, all kinds of things that they might be just part of the executive branch that just they don't want anyone to know about for whatever reason, and they don't want anyone discussing it, and they don't need to because there's a separate branch of government. They don't have to tell the Congress anything that they're up to.
So
they do have government. Now there is government oversight from Congress, but these are not oversight committees. These are there's the Judicial Committee. Not the Government Oversight Committee.
So do you believe that the president has greater power than Congress?
No, I think you have the equal power.
Equal power. Each section of the government has equal power. A third, yeah. A third, a third, equally.
And when it came to these people not testifying, the executive branch made it very clear that they wanted to send if they were going to insist on this, let's send it over to the judges. Mm-hmm. The court system and have them determine whether or not he has the right to do this. And they never did that. They just assumed. So the judicial guys were just completely left out of it. And they could have been, they could have told the president that he has to do it, but nobody did that.
I mean, the problem is this isn't a commonly used item throughout history. There's only, three different times we've had impeachment processes go on. And this.
Actually, only two, really.
Who are you not counting?
Nixon.
You're not, because he bowed out before the whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So if that's the case, then it's not like there's a lot of precedent on what to do and how to do it. I think we could agree with that. They're rusty. They don't know what to do. Everybody's kind of plowing their own course at this point, even though there are directives within the Constitution, right?
Yeah, high crimes and misdemeanors is pretty vague.
Yeah. Anyway, back to your point, and your question was, what do you think markets will do with this? Once the vote, let's say, goes to impeachment and it's finalized in Congress, in the House, I think that's a foregone conclusion at this point, and it seems like the markets don't care. Because they realize that on the Senate side, it's not going to go through. It's not going to do anything. So I don't think
that's true.
I don't think the markets care. So point is resolution. At least we got through that and they can hopefully get back to some business because they haven't been doing much of anything.
Well, there's been a bunch of these Democrat Congress people that have said that if the Senate doesn't do anything, instead of going back to business, they're going to re-impeach him.
What? What?
Yeah.
What does that even mean, re-impeach? What does that mean?
They're going to just do it again.
They
don't want to do anything else, apparently.
You can't. How do you do that? Isn't there at least in the legal?
No, I don't think so. That's the joke of it. I don't think that there is any limitations to the number of times you can impeach the same person.
How many just impeach him every third week?
Yeah.
Oh. Is he going to sit in the corner and just take jabs, jab, 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 and just, oh.
Well, you can go off and still do what he does, but, I mean, Congress just get tied up. It's just like I have mixed feelings about this. I have worked for the government, and I've always had the feeling that if the government's not doing anything, it's better.
Yeah. there is some point to that.
So if they want to sit around just going through this process over and over again, it is a waste of the taxpayers' money. But if they want to do this and not really try to put any new laws in place or do any real work, I'm fine with it personally.
I don't know. The whole thing is ludicrous, and it seems to me that it's gotten so you know what? Our governmental system, as even though it is the best process supposedly in the world, has gotten really twisted. And this whole, I'm on this side, that means I can't agree with you on that side. And there's no partisanship. It's really a ridiculous process. And I think I blame, I don't know if I blame Obama for all of the presidential orders. What do you call those? What's the word?
Executive
orders that were done through that process. And if it was, I don't remember that many before Obama. Do you? Was it?
Well, there were always a lot of executive orders by various presidents. It has increased over the years, but Obama had executive orders that were substantial.
Right.
Most of the executive orders historically have been just minor little clarifications of situations and nothing, you know, it wasn't like a big deal, but Obama's thrown all kinds of them in there that were important. Mm. They were important.
Yeah. Moving a long way from politics, and hopefully we can get beyond this whole situation. The whole thing that's going to really, I tell you, what's really going to put the Democrats' knickers in a bind is they're going to go through this whole process, and they're going to put all this stuff up, and they're going to pound the desks on this whole thing, and then the guy's going to be reelected. That's going to really piss him off. They're not going to know what to do.
Well, they're going to impeach him again.
I understand that. Well, maybe they hope that they could win a lot more seats.
I think they're barking up the wrong tree in that regard. I think the Republicans will take the House back because the public really, they're more like you as opposed to me. They're more like you. They'd like to see these guys doing something other than just impeaching the president over and over again. And I think they're going to vote most of these guys out and it's going to be Republican run again in the House and the Senate.
Wow. That would be something.
Well,
that would be something. Taxes going down. Taxes will be going probably down. Hopefully for the middle class this time. Yeah. Let's jump over to the Fed. No change to the rate in the last Fed update last Wednesday. They're going to keep up their asset purchases to make sure that the repo market stays liquefied. And as a matter of fact, you remember last week we calculated about $300 billion was pumped into the repo market as non-QE just for liquefaction purposes to make sure that, right? It seems that they're really worried about the year end now. So the month end, quarter end, year end are big deals.
Yeah, this that chart has bothered me ever since I saw it.
That chart's about to go up another $300 billion by the end of the year.
And I started looking at modern monetary theory, and now I have some thoughts on it. I'm going to have to write up a little paper on it. And it brings to mind a whole bunch of things. I actually think that what's happening here is that they're implementing the modern MMT theory in real time. They're actually doing it, and Trump is the one doing it, and nobody wants to even address the issue because it is a kind of a favorite of some of the more radical Democrats. The chief economist of the Bernie Sanders campaign is an MMT person, and AOC and all the squad and all these super progressives are all into this idea. Of course, they want to abuse it as opposed to just use it to stabilize the economy. But I think it's in play. I think after the QE situation took place the first time, and it resulted in zero hyperinflation. Like everybody was saying, oh, we're going to have hyperinflation. Never happened. And it was every side of the spectrum, the economic spectrum. Everybody said we're going to have hyperinflation. You can't do it. Didn't happen. And now they're saying, well, let's just make this a policy.
I mean, we pretty much have that right now under Republican rule, where even though the Republicans for years have said, hey, you know what? We can't flood the markets with exceptional amounts of liquidity and creating artificial levels. We can't have low interest rates because it will create inflation. And more importantly, we can't have all these asset purchases that are going to balloon our balance sheet and create all this debt and potential deficits because it's really unstable. But that's what they've done.
Yes.
If you go back and read some of the tweets and some of the comments from a few years ago during the Obama regime, and you look at what they talked about when this whole QE was going on, they were like, no, you can't do this. It's terrible. It's going to wreck the economy. It's going to cause hyperinflation. You know, don't do this. Now they're all about, hey, you know what? Just keep. Now Trump is actively trying to push down rates again. And you have all the.
He's all in on this idea.
Yeah. And the Republicans are like, uh-huh.
The problem is nobody's bitching about it for two reasons. One, there's no hyperinflation. In fact, there's no real negative effect. All we see is the stock market going up.
Right, but because that's the wrong benchmark.
Well,
that's the problem. We're focusing on assets, and we do have inflation. We have asset inflation. Risk assets are the deal. The problem is that when you have this go on and you have exceptional amounts of debt and you have corporate debt at an all-time high, even though the debt service is about the same amount of money because rates are lower. So if you had $500 million worth of debt at 4%, now you can have $1 billion at 2% and have the same debt service, but you have a debt load that is much higher. And in the event that interest rates go up in the future, you are in big trouble. Not to mention the fact that you got to pay back $1 billion now, not just $500 million. So it's really warped. This is a situation that's a big problem. And the reason why we can't get any inflation and we can't get any substantial growth out of our economies because we have this massive weight of debt sitting on top of us. And that's all I have to say about that.
Well, says you.
Yeah, says me. That says me. Well, the Fed also, just to get back to the Fed, hinted that the Fed may be on hold for the rest of 2020. This is exactly a polar opposite of what they did at the end of last year. The end of last year, they're like, hey, we're just going to be on automatic pilot and keep on raising rates because the economy is doing well and all this. And then things fell apart. Now they're like, well, we're not going to do anything through the end of 2020. Which.
Oh, I missed this memo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Somebody was on today. Kaplan was on today. And we saw this from Fed Chairman Powell last week talking about how they're just not going to, you know, they don't think they're going to, unless something.
They're going to have a meeting.
Yeah. Well, they don't have to. Why have a meeting? Unless something substantial happens, there is no reason to change their plan to keep interest rates where they are, cementing in the idea that, you know what, there's a green light to buy risk assets because we're going to keep interest rates very low. And the other thing is we do know that generally speaking, during election years, the Fed usually backs away a little bit. They don't want to muddle up the waters and cause any problems for either side of the...
Yeah, where they can be blamed.
Yeah. We have a Brexit update. We need like a flashing red light here. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson's government said it will conclude a post-Brexit standstill period at the end of next year. End of next year? I thought they're supposed
Brexit on January 31st.
January 31st, right. Yeah. So,
and of course, Adam and I, if anyone's listened to the No Agenda show, since day one, we said that this is never going to happen. They're just going to keep stalling, or they're going to try to do a revote because that's the way the EU operates. And so we're still skeptical that on January 31st, anything's going to happen. There's going to be a lawsuit, or they're going to have to extend the date. There'll be some phony baloney reason not to leave. You watch.
What's really interesting is that when Boris Johnson was, this recent vote that he won with all the different components of it, that the pound went up by about 1.5%. Actually, it went up about 2%, which makes kind of sense because if you separate it out, they don't have to take any of the lag and the drag from the euro, but quickly came down after the fact. So I'm with you. I don't think they're going to get anything done. And their government is in worse shape of a standstill and inability to do anything that worse than ours.
I agree. It's pretty pathetic. Yeah. Let's see what the pound looks like.
It was down a little bit today.
A little bit.
Yeah. But it did just blow up dramatically, and it came up against the euro.
It's been lower.
Yeah. Amazon blocks the use of FedEx Ground for Prime shipments. Seems that Amazon is citing a decline in FedEx performance heading into the final holiday push, which is interesting because we have some news on FedEx coming up. FedEx said a small number of customers are affected by the decision. These are third-party sellers. Third-party sellers are like, what? They're going to have to go with a different source. It's going to cost them more. And for the most part, now they're complaining they're not going to make any money on any of their deals.
Well, I'm sure there's plenty of those guys. They got to cut to the bone to do a deal with Amazon, and Amazon takes their piece of it, and the profits go down the tubes. And Amazon does have some sort of a beef with FedEx, but I do too. They're overpriced.
Yeah, but they're overpriced for you and I, probably because they're underpriced for Amazon. We're probably subsidizing it with every letter sent.
I would take your side on that argument. You yes.
know? So the question was, I put this down. Before FedEx came out with their earnings tonight, yesterday the stock dropped a little bit on FedEx. FedEx was high of, I think, 257 or so back about a year ago. Dropped down with the whole trade war shenanigans, the worry about global trade, came back up. Earnings came out tonight. Missed by 27 cents. Misses on revenues, and they lowered their fiscal 2020 EPS below consensus. And they're saying that operating results declined due to weak global economic conditions, increased FedEx Ground costs from expanded service offerings, the loss of business from a large customer. We know that. We know who that is. Yeah. And they cut them a year ago anyway. And we knew this was going to happen. What's really interesting about this was when the news came out that Amazon was going to be competing in the delivery area where they were going to do their last mile plus have their own delivery service, you know, the Amazon trucks.
Yeah, those trucks are all over the place. Yeah. They're funny looking vans.
Yeah. There was like, not going to bother FedEx. You know, all the bulls on the FedEx. Yeah, it's not going to bother FedEx because FedEx, you know, gets this and that, and they have the whole thing going.
Oh, it makes no sense.
No sense. So this is a major droop on the stock chart over the last year. And stock is now down 7% after hours. One of the really interesting things about FedEx is you hear the analysts in various media always talking about, hey, FedEx is really an important component when we look at them. They're a bellwether in the area of transportation. One of the things you want to look at is how FedEx is doing on a global basis. And that gives you a real good tell about what's happening with the global economy. And that makes sense. Unless, of course, FedEx isn't doing well. Then they say, you know what? If you look at the transportation average, the rails, the airlines, all hitting 52-week highs, this is an outlier. It's something to do with FedEx itself. You know? This is
bad analysis.
Always the same. But I think this is important to look at this because they are telling you, this reminds me of, who was the gent? Was it Applied Materials? Was it John Chambers? Who was?
Well, John Chambers was Cisco.
Maybe it was Cisco. And he would come out and always tell you what was going on and give you a real good analysis of
I think that was. I think that's who it was.
Yeah, it was John Chambers, right? Small guy, kind of balding, Southern, I believe.
Well, I'm not sure about that.
Well, he would talk about this gent who I'm thinking about, would talk about what was going on with their company and primarily discuss the whole idea about, you know, what was happening on a global basis, what he saw. And he moved markets because it was a big issue in the technology space. FedEx has been the same thing until, of course, they're not doing well, and then you could discount them. But I think FedEx does paint an important story for the global economies.
Well, I'm glad you do.
Facebook, you know, one of my favorite companies in the world. U.S. Federal Trade Commission is considering asking a court to stop Facebook from moving ahead with plans to integrate its WhatsApp, Instagram, and Messenger subsidiaries. And what Facebook was trying to do, if you remember, is they're trying to integrate this for, I think they call it end-to-end messaging, where you can utilize each to message the other somehow. It's fully integrated.
What's the big deal?
Well, this is a big thing. They're trying to stop them because the it may be the potential for Facebook having to sell WhatsApp and Instagram.
Why?
Because they don't want them integrating and having any cross integration of these products. Somehow they see it as an issue, the FTC.
What is the issue?
I think they think that there is.
I'm on Facebook. I don't use. Okay, let's start with this premise. I'm probably the most objective person about this because I don't use Facebook. I never had a Facebook account. I don't have a shadow account. I don't use the product. I don't like it. I don't use Instagram. I do have an account. I've never used it, but I'd like to look at people's Instagrams accounts, and I'll do that. WhatsApp, I've never used ever.
WhatsApp is mostly outside the U.S.
Yeah, and I don't even know what Messenger is. So it's
Messenger is Facebook Messenger. It's just
I don't use that, obviously, because I don't use Facebook. If I'm a Facebook user, I would assume that because it's really more of a platform than it is a program, that it would give me all these options to just stay in on the program. I mean, what's the difference between staying on Facebook and then using its Messenger or WhatsApp or clicking on Instagram and putting it all together into one package, as opposed to going on YouTube where they're just taking algos and tricking me into staying on the YouTube watching different dumb videos because for some reason they know what I'm interested in. And I just don't see that, you know, all these platforms historically and all the newspapers, everybody wants to keep you on their platform. That's what they do. That's what their job is.
There has to be something about the integration of these that is concerning due to antitrust or possibly because of the use of payments that are available, or maybe even because of Facebook's horrible record with keeping user data private, that there could be a data privacy issue here. Maybe that's what they're looking at. We'll have to look more into this, but this is definitely weighing on the stock recently. Slightly, from 203 down to 197.
That's hardly a big deal.
So this is a story, actually. I got something from my daughter today on this, and this is something I've been tracking. Have you been seeing these commercials and the whole big excitement over this Away luggage?
I know the story, but I have not seen. I don't know that I've ever seen an Away luggage commercial. I might have. Out here in California, all we see are Bloomberg commercials.
Yeah, that's because you're in California.
Yeah. Oh, they're just pummeling. I would say if I watch television, if I spend some time watching television, I will see 5 to 10 Bloomberg commercials.
Oh God, that's awful.
It is.
Well, at least you're not getting those the pillow commercials anymore, are you?
Oh yeah, My Pillow. With a smiling guy. Hey, my favorite one is where he's inside the guy's medicine cabinet.
Yeah.
My all-time favorite commercial.
That's good, yeah. So this whole thing, this Away luggage, this big thing about, this new piece of luggage, this incredibly advanced piece of luggage that is just amazing. It has wheels.
It's luggage.
Yeah, it has wheels. It has a battery. Oh. charger and all that. I'm thinking, it has wheels, it has luggage. What could be possibly going on inside this luggage that's better than American Tourister or whatever the name is, right?
Yeah.
So the problem, though, is they did it. Well, the thing is, they did an amazing job at marketing. So that's a big thing. They took a lot of money and they tried to make it look like it was a sexy piece of luggage. Like, I got to have that luggage. You know, it's a hard-sided luggage.
Shell.
The shell is hard. And it smoothly rolls. I could say that about any other piece of luggage out there these days.
Yeah.
Although I will say that the advent of wheels on luggage is one of the best things that ever happened.
Yeah, who did that? I think it was Samsonite.
That was unbelievable. So the thing is
so obvious.
Yeah, right. So the CEO and co-founder of this luggage company had to step down and resign because they put all this kind of real negative, head-beating, negative stuff about employees on their Slack channel, on an internal Slack channel.
Slack is the problem.
That's exactly my point. My point here is that this must have been probably going around for a lot of time. You know, you have people that are saying all sorts of negative things and saying, hey, you know what? Make them work harder, make them work later, don't pay them this, don't whatever. You know, who puts this stuff down? Who puts this stuff down on Slack? Who puts this down in text of any kind? What idiots?
It makes no sense to me either.
It's a generation
Nobody.
That feels-
Nobody.
It's so stupid. But we've seen this several times. So she's going to be stepping down, replaced by Lululemon's Athletica's chief operating officer, Stuart Haselden. And the CEO's going to remain on the board. So there was supposedly this toxic work environment where workers were publicly shamed by executives in their company's Slack channels and customer service representatives. The problem is, it's one thing if they were publicly shamed, flogged, and you know, just all sorts of horrible things done verbally, and there's witnesses. There's another thing entirely when you have this in any kind of communication form that can be copied very easily. So stupid. Just so ridiculous.
Well, I'm reminded of the good old days, and it was, I'd say, the late 90s when people were getting into blogging, and they would stupidly blog about their boss and what an idiot he is. And remember that?
Yeah. That stopped. That was really stupid. Really stupid. Oh, no, my boss doesn't read my stuff. No. Now, speaking about women as CEOs and things like that, President Obama was recently quoted this week. He says, now, women, I just want you to know you're not perfect. But what I could say pretty indisputably is that you're better than us, meaning men. Yeah, I'm absolutely confident
speak for yourself,
that
Obama.
For 2 years, if every nation on earth was run by women, you would see a significant improvement across the board on just about everything, living standards and outcomes.
And it's funny because you just like a week or 2 weeks beforehand had done that survey showing that these women CEOs are underperforming.
Yep. So I don't know what this is all about, but this is the continuation of men suck.
a little bit. Well, he's on board.
Yeah, he's on board with men suck. I suck. I'm terrible. We've done a bad job of you know, we're destroying the world. Boeing is considering suspending.
This is unbelievable.
The Boeing story?
Yeah, don't you think?
It's unbelievable. Well, I think they got themselves in a grind because they were calling the shots, and it was found out that they were calling the shots with the, all the regulators. And
FAA mainly.
Yeah, and they said, you know, this plane is ready to go. Okay, it's ready to go. That's good. And we did all the testing. Okay, ready to go. And they said, you know, we think that we're going to have this plane back in November, you know, back up and running. And it's going to be a little bit longer. And the FAA said, hey, wait. We call the shots here. And
these guys botched this plane.
Oh, boy.
They botched everything about it. It was a quickie. It was a stupid idea what they did. You know what they did? They took an old 737, took these new motors, which wouldn't fit on the old fuselage, and decided to move them forward because they would fit if you kind of squeezed them in a different location. But then the plane was so out of balance that it wouldn't fly right, And the whole thing was a botch from the get-go. It was engineering.
Yeah.
These guys were the genius engineers, the aeronautical engineers of our time.
Yeah. Didn't they also have to change where the fuel was, how the fuel was distributed and loaded because it was a problem with the engines?
I don't know.
There was a bunch of
know.
Things.
I don't know all they had to do. All I know is that this was a hatchet. This was a kludge.
Oh.
The old term. Kludge.
Kludge. Is that with a D-G-E?
Yeah, it's K-L. K-L-U-D-G-E is the proper pronunciation.
Well, they now suspended production.
Yeah. Well, after they already made too many of them.
Made too many of them. They're going to finish off whatever production they have now. And there's going to be a problem here. The problem is that there is some, it's going to be a hit to earnings, first of all. But the other problem is you have this backlog issue of orders that may disappear, it seems. Airbus can't keep on, can't keep up with making the planes they need to make. They may be able to try to renegotiate some deals with suppliers, but they have some kind of like make it or pay it, some kind of, I forgot what it's called, but they're locked into paying what is due from these orders they have. And the other problem is, this is really interesting. JP Morgan, another firm, did analysis today that the work stoppage by Boeing is going to cost the economy more than the government shutdown.
Wow.
It's going to be about 0.5% off of next quarter's GDP.
Well, that's not good.
No.
So, well, thanks, Boeing.
Yeah. Thanks, Boeing. There you go. Homeless issue. I brought this to you because you have a homeless issue, not you personally, but in your neighborhood. The U.S. Supreme Court on Monday rejected a bid by Boise to overturn a lower court's ruling that prohibited authorities in the Idaho City from prosecuting homeless people for staying outside if a bed at an emergency shelter is not available. So there was a ruling in San Francisco that says you can't, jail these people and do anything because they're sleeping in public or unauthorized places. And it violates the U.S. Constitution's bar on cruel and unusual punishment. So good news, bad news. Good news is homeless people, you don't have to worry about anything. Bad news, you're going to have more homeless people sleeping outside.
Well, they have ways of getting around it. I mean, there are, for example, very few homeless people in San Francisco in Chinatown.
Why is that? If I was homeless, that's where I'd be.
Because the Chinese store owners will beat the crap out of them.
Ah.
And the way the cops are overlooking crimes left and right, they seem to overlook this crime too. And so the homeless have a clue and they don't go to Chinatown. They don't stay in the streets in Chinatown, and that's that. So it's becoming like, a vigilante situation. It's just bad. It's bad all around. But the city brought it on itself. I mean, they're too lax.
But you can't all do anything cities, about
they
it.
Got, they got lax. They let these guys start to accumulate. And then the next thing you have, a couple thousand of them. And they're living in tents and they're living on the sidewalks. And so somebody, it's enough of them that they can create a court, kind of a court case of some sort. There's a lawsuit involved, and then they get their tit-in-a-ringer. I mean, this is just a disaster.
It is, and I think they're also overlooked because they don't necessarily vote, and they don't probably pay taxes, and they don't have any sway with government officials. Let's be honest. You're going to build more property. One of the things you could do, and I don't know why this isn't done in more places, any commercial development, whether it's residential properties for commercial development or commercial development for businesses, should have an add-on tax for building and providing for people that don't have homes. It would seem like just a little bit extra on that. You want to build here and you want to, fine, put an extra 2% tax on the building. Put it as part of your permitting fees.
Yeah, but then you still have the problem of where to put the homeless.
You build a shelter for them.
Well, there's the NIMBY problem. People bitch and moan when you do that because they're living next door to it.
And you can't necessarily... Well,
and they don't do anything about... Here's the other thing. This law enforcement issue is really part of this. A lot of these homeless are drug users. A lot of them, especially up in Seattle. And they won't do anything about it. They're not going to bust them for, the homeless thing, pure and simple. Yes, I can see the Supreme Court saying, hey... But very few of them, not very few, but there's the number of homeless that are purely homeless and they don't have drug issues or they're not doing other things that are illegal is probably a small percentage. I'm not being cruel about this. I'm just being honest about it.
You're a bad man. You're mean. I understand. Let's move along here. We have a lot to cover. We may go a little bit over tonight, if that's okay with you, because this is the last show for the year. ESG. Sure. Remember, we've been talking about this ESG, this environmental, social, and governance issue that's become a hot button of research. Want to find those companies that are really good with the environment and have a good plan and a good culture involved for social activity and also governance where they have plans to make sure that over time there is a succession plan in place and good corporate oversight. Well, it seems that tens of trillions of dollars have been pouring into companies that have this, or at least they say they have this robust environmental, social, and government credentials because this has become a big thing. And now all of a sudden short sellers are saying, you know, we think they're trying to rig the system because what happens is they know what the grading process is all about. So companies are going to start doing things just to make themselves look good from an ESG standard.
Ah.
So companies know this is a really hot topic and basically they're doing whatever they can to be on the quote nice list. So Carson Block of Muddy Waters, Josh Strauss of Appleseed, Chad Slater of Morphic, they're arguing that share price can be bolstered by corporate misrepresentations about sustainability and so-called, they're calling it greenwashing.
Yeah, greenwashing. I've heard that.
So there's something with that. A quick update on value versus growth. We have a chart, and you can check this out over on dhunplugged.com. Check out episode number 485 in the show notes. We'll have that up and running very shortly tonight. This is the chart of the Russell 2000. We could do this for the Russell 1000 too. It looks about the same. But the Russell 2000 growth, which is your technology and your healthcare, versus your value, which is your banks, your staples, your utilities. And you can see the differential this year. This year to date, the growth is up 25% and the value is up 15%, just continuing the outperformance of growth versus value, the Momo trade, the moving through, you know, the higher PE stocks. I thought this was pretty interesting.
Yeah, those will be the first to go.
Yeah, they will. Automakers and congressional aides told Reuters that they don't expect the U.S. Congress will extend a $7,500 tax credit for EV or electronic vehicles in the year-end spending bill, which I believe was a $1.4 trillion deal that was approved by the House tonight. General Motors and Tesla have been pushing for more than a year for the credit to be extended that phased out once an automaker hits 200,000 vehicles sold. So the tax credit is aimed at defraying the cost of EVs and more expensive because they're more expensive than similarly sized internal combustion vehicles. Yeah. But this could be something, and there's obviously something for our stock picks that I'm going to put on for that one. This is important. Let me kind of just go through. I think this I want to talk about because I think this is really interesting. Fitch, the rating service, came out with a really, I couldn't have said this better. They said tonight that the phase one deal, you know, the skinny partial phase one deal that is now supposedly done, but nothing's on paper and hasn't been signed, but nonetheless, it's done. They say that deal alone is not likely to eliminate trade-related uncertainty and restore business confidence given potentially prolonged phase two negotiations on structural issues. The U.S. trade relationship is a major watch item for U.S. corporations and their credit in 2020, given the size of the Chinese market, intricate global supply chains, and implications for world growth. They have said that renewed escalation of U.S. trade tensions remain a significant risk, and trade tensions and this tit-for-tat retaliatory actions have caused uncertainty for all U.S. companies, resulting in reduced business confidence, a pullback in investments, and in some cases, lower profitability. Mm-hmm. In other words, we got this trade deal done, which is what? We're going to purchase some soybeans. They're going to purchase soybeans and definitely some pork, which they need because they have a pork problem, especially into the new year where everybody in China seems to eat pork for Chinese New Year. And we reduced a little bit of our tariffs, did not put under December 15th tariffs, but everything else is still in place. We're not really getting anything on the major issues about technology transfers or any of our concerns about the subsidies they provide for state-owned companies and enterprises. I mean, that's a line of bull crap.
It seems that, right, we're not getting what we want.
Yep. Two more things in this segment. A court filing made by the company Monday shows Purdue, you know, Purdue Pharma, one of the OxyContin and the companies that were very much a part of the whole proliferation of these drugs, right?
They made through hard sell.
Yeah. They made payments for the benefit of members of the Sackler family who own the company, totaling $10 billion from 2008 to 2017.
What a bunch of scammers.
Yeah, that includes tax and payments. Family members received $4.1 billion in cash over that period.
Now, there you go.
So they're in back in the hot seat. Cruise on the move, another chart here, popping over the $60 level again.
Yeah, why that, you think?
Well, I think it's a combination of the Saudi Aramco trying to keep up the price of the whole, you know, the IPO that recently came out. And I think it's also because you have this risk on because the trade deal was signed. And if so, we're all excited about this. There's also something about a prepayment of a loan back to China from Petrobras. I think it was Petrobras, which means that Petrobras no longer has to provide lower cost crude to China.
Oh, okay. Huh.
So maybe they're jacking up the prices.
Could be.
Yep. Oh, here we are at the year end. As we mentioned, we got a few things going on here. But one of the things we want to mention is the holiday time. Time for spirits. Time for a bunch of ho, ho, ho. Time for a little bit of love, gifting. And you know what they say? It's better to give than to get, right?
Yes.
Yep. So if you're sick and tired of hearing that squeak in John's chair, that one. Or if you want to help out providing for us a little bit for some of the costs associated with the show, it's really important. And it's your duty, your job, your obligation this time of year. Go over to DH Unplugged, click on that little yellow button that says donate. Give from the heart. Give from the wallet. You could give, you know, monthly. You can give a one-time payment. A lot of you have, and we really appreciate it. Like I said, we just got that new server going up. That is up now. We have some development costs that are ongoing all the time. We have the shirts. We have the trophy, which we're going to talk about in a second for the winner.
Trophy.
Yeah, the trophy's coming. It's a big trophy. It's like 2.5 feet tall.
It should be.
Yeah, it is. It's a big one.
Somebody has to win a couple of times. That's hard to do.
It is. So do us a favor. Not even a favor. It's not a favor.
Not a favor.
It's an ask.
It's an obligation.
Yes, it is. Go over to dhunplugged.com, click on the donate button, and give. Put this on pause if you're listening right now. If you're driving, pull over to the side of the road and go right over there. You can do it on your phone. You can do it on your computer. Just make sure that you do it because, like I said, this will be your last shot for the end of the year. It is time to announce or to re-announce that we are now in the challenge for the closest to the pin cup. This is a game that we play with the audience and the listeners where you go and you this is only available to the winners of the past closest to the pin. We have about 10 people, I think, competing right now for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. It will be closing for entries at the end of this week. So if you did get my email, you have to get your guess in for what the close of the Dow Jones Industrial Average will be on 12/31. Entries close on 12/20, which I believe is that this Friday? Yeah, it's Friday. So it closes on Friday. So right now this Dow Jones is at 27,948.14. Really? I thought the Dow Jones was at, hang on a second here. I thought it was 28,000. Maybe I'm wrong.
Let's take a look.
And this chart's not working. Things are not working. I have to go
ahead. Yeah, 28,267.
I'll have to update that. We've had a little problem with this. I have to look at that. But we'll get the right person that wins at the right time. I wonder what's going on there. Final 2019. Huh. The chart's not working. I'll have to mess with this a little bit. But we'll get that going. So you have a couple of days to go. So make sure to get your guess in there. What else do we have here? All right, moving along. A couple more things here. China. So doesn't look like these protests are going to end anytime soon, right? Is there any reason?
The Hong Kong, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. Hong Kong. Nothing's calming down.
No, but this is a worldwide phenomenon. There's things going on all over the place.
Well, this one's a little bit different than some of the others because it's kind of a protest of a government area that's outside of the government. But Chinese President Xi Jinping offered his support for Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam on Monday, which was probably not the best thing to do if you want to calm these riots down.
Right? No, they hate her.
Right, they hate her. She was the one that started this whole thing off. Well, she's
she refuses to quit. I don't think they let her quit. And she's a puppet.
Yep. So I don't think anything's going to happen. They're in a recession in Hong Kong. Their tourism is down like 50%. Things are closing left and right. Major problems with store closings because the rioters are just, you know, who wants to open up your coffee shop when you get rioting?
They're wrecking the place.
Yeah. So maybe a food truck, you know, rioters food or something like that would be good because they have to eat. But nonetheless, France is upping their retirement age. President Emmanuel Macron is attempting to make France globally competitive.
Well, that'll be the day.
Oh God, that's so funny.
Yeah, they're very globally competitive in wine and cheese.
They are, although I think,
and also they're the top people making high speed rail. Although the Chinese, I think, are beating them on price.
Yeah, but hopefully it stays together.
Well, the French stuff's good quality.
Yeah, French stuff is. So that means that they're trying to get the competitiveness up. And that means that some people may have to retire at age 63 and 4 months, not at the age of 62, as they were previously told.
Oh, no, those poor Frenchmen.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Terrible. This is people that like to take 2 and 3 hour lunches every day, right?
Well, not as bad as the Spanish, but yeah, they take a long lunch.
Yep. This is a blast from the past. Do you remember that there was a weird situation that there was a cryptocurrency exchange that the owner died mysteriously and all the passwords to the system disappeared and were not able to be found? So the entire exchange was just locked up?
No.
This is Quadriga CX. And there was this sudden death of this owner. And all of a sudden, every bit of money that was on the table in this exchange was frozen because nobody could access the system. He was the only one that had access to the system. And they scoured the house. They looked in safes. They did everything they could. They couldn't find it. Now they want to exhume his body because they want to make sure that the dead person is actually him.
Ah.
Because now the concern
the that scams afoot.
Huh? Yeah. That would be pretty wild, huh?
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be great. This is an interesting story. Tamara Ecclestone, who's the daughter of former Formula One boss Bernie Ecclestone.
Yeah.
Had an estimated £50 million or $64 million. Worth of jewelry stolen from an audacious raid from her West London home. First of all, who keeps $64 million? First of all, who has $64 million worth of jewelry? But who keeps $64 million worth of jewelry in your home?
I have no idea. This is not the kind of people that I hang around with.
No, oh no? What do they have? Your people have what, $20 million maybe?
No, I don't know anyone who keeps a lot of jewelry. I'm not, and in Silicon Valley, we're not even the billionaires aren't jewelry people.
The whole thing is bizarre. Just bizarre. We've seen this before. This was there was a couple of stars this happened to, and it turned out to be some hanky-panky going on.
Yeah, it's a scam. A lot of times it's an insurance scam.
Yeah. So, anyway. All right.
Let's get to the brain teaser.
All right, hold on, because we're going to play this one more, only to hurt people with this and to remind our friend Tom. Tom, you're listening, I know you are, that we need a redo on this.
This is DH Unplugged's brain teaser.
Just falls. It just... he tried to appreciate that, but we need something big here.
Yeah, you need something bigger.
Did you know the answer to last week's question, by the way? Did you figure it out?
No, that's why I gave it a high remark, a mark, because it is one of those that when you hear the answer, it's like, oh, duh.
So here's the brain tease from last week. We're not going to have one for this week because we have a few weeks off, but we'll start again. But here's last week's brain teaser. And here it goes. You leave home and you go to your right. You reach a corner and you turn left. You reach another corner and you turn left again. You reach yet another corner and turn left again and then go home. When you get there, there's a person with a mask on waiting for you. What's happening? Yeah. And the answer is...
you're playing baseball.
Yep. There you go. Makes sense. A couple of people actually wrote to me. They got that.
No. Well, good.
So there you go. With that in mind...
this is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
So there you go. We have the list up here, and as usual, over the last few weeks, you are majorly green.
I'm hitting it.
You are pro.
I'm all green.
Yep. Oh, you are.
There's only one red on the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's your fabulous Facebook short.
The fabulous Facebook short.
But the big one I thought was the one I picked last week. The one that's the highest right now out of the blue is the Baker Brothers Insiders pick of Kodiak Sciences.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Up 16.7%
up 16% in 1 week.
Yeah, those biotechs are really, really doing something. But everything else is looking good.
I do have a pick for this week. Yeah, you might as well go over the list real quick.
Somerset Bank up 10%, Advanced Drainage Systems up 15%, Facebook down 4%. The short that I picked, the rest that I'm going to mention right now are John Schnitzer Steel up 2%, Discovery Communications up 273%, Cinedime Corp up 5.5%. My pick of Pindodo is up 1.2%. Kodiak Science up 16%. And American Superconductor Corp up marginally 0.92%.
Yeah, that's the low one. That was done on descending triangle. I do have another insider's pick for this week.
Oh, what you got?
It will be, let me get it, a PBF Energy.
What is the symbol there?
PBF.
Oh, okay.
I got some insiders buying. Let's see what kind of insider. This is it's actually a big, it's an investment company. A big investment company is dropping $15 million into it. They seem to be okay. It's a foreign group called Inversora Corso. And they're buying a lot of it for some reason. In fact, they've been buying it for just forever. They've been buying this. I didn't realize how much they've been buying this. And they've just been buying it for like crazy for the last year or so.
All right. So we'll put that down as a buy.
I mean, I think it's a possibility that there's some oil action that's coming up because I don't have any oil in my picks.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be nice to have an oil company or an oil supply company, a company that is in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out.
I'm going to add something controversial. We tried this before. It didn't work. Almost at an all-time high here, about 10 points away. And now with the tax credit cut on EVs, I'm going to say that that the move on Tesla, the recent incredible rebound, almost up 100% in the last 4 or 5 months on Tesla. Yeah,
pretty astonishing.
Is pretty much overdone considering all that we know right now. So I'm going to put a short on Tesla.
I agree with this pick, but the problem I have with it is that shorts aren't working.
There's no question about that. I mean, we had a few that worked. I mean, I can look down the list. We had a couple here.
Yeah, there's one that kind of worked, but it's not like
Fitness up 7%. I got Roku up 8.5%. That was just the last couple months. Then we closed out Collier's at even. Planet Fitness, what was it? Oh, SL Green, we closed at a net 9% loss. What else was there? This was a good one. What was this? Netflix, 23%.
Yeah, you nailed the Netflix one. I give you credit for that.
So
that was
let's
great.
See if this is another Netflix-esque type of situation.
You might be right, because it does have to make a correction, and it's stupid at this price.
And I got such a range. I got this would have to go to about $400 for me to get stopped out.
Yeah.
At our 10% rate. So with that, I'm going to bid you adieu and wish you a wonderful. I hope you enjoyed your cookies. Did you try the cookies?
Oh, yeah. The cookies are delicious.
Yeah. Which one's your favorite? You know, do you have one?
Oh, you know, they got stupid names. I can't remember any of them. I think the kitchen sink is the one I like the best.
Yeah, that one's a good one. Bang cookies sent out to John for the holiday. Did you give any to Mimi or save any for Mimi?
Yeah, everybody's gotten a cookie.
All right. Just checking. I will see you. I'm sure I'll talk to you, but I'll see you on the other side of the decade.
Yes, that'll be great.
All right.
And let's make sure to encourage people to support the show so we can get off to a good start next year.
That'd be great. All right, I'll see you soon.
All right, adios.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.